When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
That was loud?
That worked.
How is the echo?
Sounds great with the tweaked audio earbuds.
Matt's rocking the tweaked audio earbuds, available for a discount.
Tweakedaudio.com/Nerdist.
Actually, I got mine. I got the green ones, and I've been using them all weekend. And then, of course, the one time I put in my Apple headphones to make a phone call, because the Apple ones have the microphone on it. I took a picture of myself, like, the moment I turned in the first draft of my book, which was...
Oh, and you are.
Which was a very emotional moment. and then a bunch of people were like, "You're not wearing tweaked audio." I'm like, because I made a... I called my manager to tell him, like, "I better do the book!" And then I took a picture. Yes, I have been rocking the tweaked audio earbuds.
So you took a picture of yourself when you got all the printed out typewriter transcripts and then delivered it to your...
I put it in the box where you get a ream of paper.
Yes, exactly.
But then on the way, there was a storm, and it blew all the pages away, and it's lost forever. I have to write it again.
Now they say that one sheet is on every car of the train that Chris was traveling on the way to the printing press.
it's part of the ARG of the book, is that the pages have blown across the country, and you have to find them.
Now it's up to you, fair listeners, to find them. where in the world is Chris's book?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I went to New York and had the meetings with the publisher and, like, you know, like all the executive people there, but then when the editor had... I knew it was a lot of, you know, it's like 200 pages probably, but to see him, she had the manuscript printed out on her desk. And I was like, what is that? That's like, awesome. It's so weird to see it. I took a picture of, I'm such a dork, I took a picture of it and then held up a few fingers to see how how tall it stacked.
You smell your fingers afterwards?
I smell my fingers afterwards, My fingers smell like Nerdist way.
Roy Scheider has Dreyfus get into frame so he can... I need something for perspective.
They're really funny. It's like, you read a bunch of old books and then you go around and have people smell your finger. And then
Dude, Hemingway.
I've been reading.
Nice.
Baudelaire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't believe me? Smell my fingers.
Smell my finger.
That's first edition.
Smell the binding.
Smell the binding.
How are you guys doing this week? I haven't seen you because I've been out of town. I was in San Francisco and then I went to New York.
When was the last time we saw each other?
I don't know. It's been like a week and a half.
It's a week and a half.
Probably. Yeah.
Too long.
It's been too long.
Yeah. Been busy on Web Soup.
Yeah.
Healing. I watched a movie called I Saw the Devil, a South Korean revenge flick.
Yep.
It's fucking incredible. It's from the same guy who did The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, which was a Western from South Korea that came out last year, the year before or so. But it's horribly gory and tense and scary and exciting, and I recommend if anyone can find it.
Is it Netflixable?
No, it's still, it's like, I went to see it at...
Too much work.
Yeah, yeah. If you miss seeing things on a screen bigger than your fucking laptop,
it's streaming at the new art.
Like, yeah, it is at the new art.
It is the new art.
Yeah, but it's probably going to just be at little art houses and stuff like that. But if you can find it, it's a fucking very. It's like a season of Dexter and the movie Seven kind of wrapped up into one. With just, you know, it's funny because it's like this guy is just getting vengeance on this dude and just torturing him. And you kind of are, after a while, start feeling bad for the guy that deserves it. But then you also have these fantasies that come up in your own head where you're like, you know, like he has like a screwdriver in his hand. And you're like, you know, if I had that screwdriver, I'd fucking poke it through his cheek.
Really? I don't know if I would be thinking those things.
You wouldn't think those things? You don't go through that stuff?
What do you You sound like Frank Whelan's character in Swimming with Sharks.
I'm not a violent person, but I love violence.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I'm not one to ever be in a fight, but I'll be the first to go and watch it.
So this is what we know. You love violence, and we know you love shitting.
Yes, I love shitting so much. So if I was to make a list.
Here's the sad thing, the sad tale that you told before we started recording is that we're gearing up for the new season of Web Soup, which starts March 30th. And then and you said, yeah, we're going to go shoot an up-top hand thing, and my hand is still fucked up and broken. So.
Yeah, well, the hand is fine. The hand is able.
Jonah's the up-top hand if you've ever seen Web Soup.
Yeah, well, besides the fact that I got scars from Deanna's cat all over my hand right now.
Oh, you sure do.
Yeah, yeah. He's a piece of shit most of the time.
He wasn't trying to scratch the bone to heal and to stimulate the...
Well, the thing is, the hand is willing and able, Chris. It's just the arm near the elbow, I wouldn't be able to extend as far as I would.
And you probably also don't want the shock.
I don't want the shock to it, which would just, you know, keep it. So I'm going to have a stunt arm for the up top hand. And, you know, I mean... It's a goofy spinoff, but you know, it won't be as heartwarming or heart wrenching as the last time.
In episode 3A, I noticed that the up top hand did not have a mole next to the
right there, right next to the
next to the knuckle.
Yeah,
why? When's your arm gonna be better?
I don't know. I got to go to a physical therapist and learn how to stretch it and stuff like that. Yeah,
now, Matt, you've got your back problems.
Ridiculous.
Listen to this old lady cast.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I'm falling
What's wrong
apart.
With you, Chris? just working on my memoirs.
No. I've been having all sorts, because I'm sitting on planes so much that I feel tweaked all the time. Like, my
tweaked
knee.
Audio.
I don't feel. No, that's the awesome tweaked that is helping to support this podcast.
I've been sleeping like shit lately too.
That's not helpful.
No, it's not helpful.
Are you stressed?
Maybe it's the lingering stress about just like getting the Web Soup started up again. Just trying to remember the groove we had, you know.
It'll come back.
Yeah. And then
it'll be back like that.
Yeah, and then also the pilot, just finishing that up and just, you know.
It's a huge undertaking. You know, what's interesting about stress is that you will feel stress even if you're doing things that you value as positive. Yeah. So like just the idea that you are busy doing stuff, even when you're doing stuff that you love. It still occupies your mind, and it's. I mean, like I've been having a little bit of trouble sleeping too. Because
you just shoot awake, you're like, I got all that stuff to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's all good stuff, and I'm thankful for it. Yeah, you know.
But then the thing is, though, when you're doing a bunch, if you're busy doing the stuff you like, the stuff that you don't like that you also have to do becomes even that much more worse. Like your busy errands. Like I had to push off and start a payment plan for some IRS thing I owe.
Yeah.
And, just the process of it was driving me crazy.
You and Wesley Snipes, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to go to white-collar prison?
It's going to be my white man's burden.
Hey, Wesley Snipes needs an up-top hand.
That's true. Actually, this just reminds me of something that's really been bugging me. I've been noticing this a lot on Twitter, people saying, complaining about, it's like, oh, you know, I missed this and this, or my phone's not working. And then people are saying white person problems. Which I think is really condescending towards saying that white people are the only ones privileged enough to have these problems.
I always do the first world problems.
Yeah, first world problems I think is okay. That's, you know, it's condescending towards countries that might not be developed and have as many people that have these problems. But when someone says white person problems, that's I think that's very racist. And I don't think they realize how racist it is. It's I had to go fix my phone and then my computer broke. White people problems, because, you know, white people are the only people that have these problems.
Sounds like a lot of bullshit whitey talk to me.
Exactly.
I don't know if it's possible to be racist against a majority group. There's 250 million white people.
It hurts when I sit down and I have to go for an MRI and they booked me into a sit-down MRI.
Oh, really?
Do you understand?
No, would you rather be shoved in the tube?
I'd much rather be shoved.
No, they're going to see how where it flares up. They need to see how it hurts.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when we did the Don't Load podcast, I was actually supposed to audition for House that day, which is something that I pushed for on Twitter. It's rare that I audition for stuff anymore because I hate the audition process. And so for me, it's just like, am I really going to spend all the extra time to prepare for this and go shoot a thing that usually is not great? But in the case of something like House, of course I would. So I did. I prepared for it, and then we had the Don't Load podcast, and he was so awesome that I let it go over, and I just missed.
Thank God.
Thank God
we saved Terriers.
I missed the House. We tried. We did our best. Yeah. Still a good show. Always Be Remembered as a great show. And so I blew up the House audition, and the episode that I auditioned for aired the other night, and when it came on, I was saying to Janet, like, this is a repeat. I've seen this. She was like, no, it says it's new. And then I realized it's a repeat in my head because I read the sides.
Yeah, it
was a great episode. It was the one where the guy, he gets some sort of a virus or a disease or something because he works around crime.
What?
I know, it's right. It's not lupus, though. Spoiler alert, not lupus. And he works on crime scene cleanups and stuff, and so they shove him in an MRI, and I had remembered that was one of the things, to bring it back to your MRI story, was that in the audition page it said, must be comfortable being shoved into an MRI. And I don't know if I would be, so
I've had them. I don't mind them. They're relaxing.
So the sit-down MRI was not so good for your back.
I don't know. It's today.
It's later.
At 1:30.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Matt is actually just sitting on his knee right now. Kneeling. Can't sit down. Is it a bulging disc problem?
He thinks that. We don't know.
Bulging disc seems like a thing that would be in a 1920s.
You've got bulging disc syndrome.
And everyone goes, oh, we know what he's talking about.
Boners are killing your back. I'm so sorry, Matthew. Well, hopefully, then you're gonna make the trek because we're going to South by Southwest and we're gonna do a podcast there.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll be able to ride.
I might get kicked off the plane by an air marshal after I freak out from the pain.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's killer.
Well, just go on the plane last, and then
Southwest.
Oh, that's right. Cattle call.
Yeah, but with Southwest, the second you can check in, you check in, so you can get in the A group.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And try to get in the exit row.
How much? How can
Rockstar 24? First class?
24 hours?
Yeah, or 24 hours. Yeah.
Oh shit! So then. After this, I should go and check in.
You should go check in.
Yeah. Update on Matt Myra doing stand-up.
Let's talk about Matt Myra doing stand-up. Jonah, because I talked to Matt Myra after he did stand-up the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how did it go? Matthew, you said...
I said it went fantastic.
And I said, great. Can I hear the recording? I forgot to record it.
Ah.
I did. I said it, and I was like, oh, okay, just make sure this works.
I forget a lot. I forget. I always mean to record my sets, and then I get into a headspace where I just don't remember.
Like Ron Popeil, you need to set it and forget it.
Yes, exactly.
Set it and forget it.
We need an app that just feels like when your iPhone notices your heart start to race and your flop sweat start to rise. It's like, oh, he must be about to go on stage, and it will start recording.
That's the desperationometer they're going to put on there. They're going to feel your desperation and need to be liked, and then it will automatically start recording anything that follows.
It's going
to
catch a lot of bad stand-up acts and a lot of death rattles.
Tons of death rattles. It's all stand-up. Up a death rattle.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, Matt did really well. It was a really awesome open mic that's in downtown Los Angeles.
Oh, that one? Oh, I thought you were talking about the Meltdown show.
Oh. No, yeah, you also did the Meltdown show. Didn't we record since then, though?
No.
We didn't. That was last week.
No.
Yeah, Matt did really well at the Meltdown show, but he also, I took him to an open mic.
Yeah.
In downtown. It was called Big Trouble in Little Tokyo.
Genius!
Yeah. It's by this guy, the guy that writes on the Comedy Bureau. But he, it's in the back of Senior Fish in Little Tokyo. It's
okay.
A great little open mic, and Matt went up. He would get there. We go there with the intention of, having Matt go up. I go, all right. It's like, I know the guy. I'll talk to him. Like, it's okay that we missed sign-ups.
He's like his big brother.
Yeah. I'm trying to help him out. And he was upset because we didn't go to the Bruco. And
I
like,
wanted to go to Bruco. That's all I really wanted to do.
You know, Bruco's not going anywhere. You can still go to Bruco.
I told him.
I always work till midnight on Tuesdays. That's why I was excited.
That has nothing to do with the fact that there was another open mic this much closer.
You really wanted to go to this other show. That's why we went down.
No, I said it would be good for you to also hang out at this other show. The Downtown Independent Show. Dave Ross's show.
Yep.
Which is a great show. Free show. But like, so we take him. I take him down there. And he's like, I'm not gonna go.
What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why?
I didn't like the room.
It's not your choice.
I was like, I want to watch.
He's like, this is a bad open mic. I said, no, Max, it's an open mic.
It's not your choice.
Well, I just wanted to see it.
I don't give a fuck. You need to go up. You know, you need to. You need to. The muscle that you need to be able to exercise is going up when you don't feel like going up. Because yeah. You don't always get a choice.
And he did.
You did go up.
He yeah. did. So here's the thing. Like good. It's like
I was getting mad.
I was angry. I was like, I told the guy you could like put you up anytime.
Yeah, I went.
Like, you know, I'm swinging my fucking dick around. Like, and I hate doing that. I hate being like, it's like, hey, can you drop my friend in?
Yeah,
like,
oh, do you want to go up? If you'd stop swinging your dick around, that's socially unacceptable.
I wouldn't hit a thing. I wouldn't hit a thing. I would hit my upper thighs if I was lucky. But I, you know, I was like, you know, I rarely ever like, you know, drop. I'm just like, hey, put my friend on, okay? And like, he's like, do you want to go up? No, I'm all right. This is an open mic. I'm too nervous. Says the guy that did it on TV. But then so I sat at the bar and awaited Matt to go on, and he did great. He went up at the end.
Dude, this is good news.
Yeah, yeah. And then we walked over to another show. Watched missed. Todd Glass wasn't on it. That's why we went. But yeah, went and like I want Matt to. And then I asked him if he went this week.
To what?
To any open mics?
No, I worked till midnight.
Yeah. Here's what we're gonna do for you, though. Here's what we're gonna do for you.
I've worked till midnight the last seven shifts I've had. From 3 to midnight.
What we're going to do is when we pull you out of Fruit Computer Land, we're going to right now there's a, you know, there's a Sunday night show at Meltdown. Since we started by the way, we started booking a ton of Meltdown shows. Like, people are coming out of the woodwork, and we're booking like some shows that, like,
really good shows.
Jimmy Dore is doing Pop and Politics on April 2nd. Yeah. We're doing Black Dynamite. This kid named Adam Warrock, who does great like nerd hip hop, is coming the week after Black Dynamite.
Brett Weinbach's gonna do a thing.
Dance party. Rob Schrab's gonna do a thing.
Ed Salazar is doing that nerd speed dating thing.
I've been talking to Ben Folds. He might do it in April.
Yeah, yeah. It's gonna continue to be awesome.
So I'm very excited about this, but. This sort of a writer's workshop place called 826 is doing a series of writing workshop talks on Sundays.
It's in a cohesion with McSweeney's.
Runs yes. And Ben Acker and Ben Blacker are running it, who do Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Yeah.
And I think that runs through April. But in May, what I want to do with you, Matt Myra, is I want to start an open mic at Meltdown on Sunday nights. And you have to run it. You have to host it. And you have to run it. It will be the best fucking training you could ever. It's Sunday. You know what? Sometimes it's going to suck, and you're not going to want to do it. And that's exactly the kind of shit you have to do when you start doing stand-up. You've got to do it.
Yeah,
I'll do it.
Every Sunday, you have to go. You have to deal with comics. Some of them weird. Some of them whiny. Yeah.
Watching bad comics.
You get up. I mean, and they're not. It's not like they're all bad. There's just some people are new.
Yeah,
and, you know, like there. You get a couple crazies at the open mics, but. But the point is, you know, like, you constantly being on your toes, constantly having to focus your attention. This is going to be your, like, paint the fence, wax on, wax off shit. And you will just do it week in, week out.
What do we charge, like 20?
yeah, we charge. We're going to charge for the open mic.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I would like to fail as a business person.
Yeah, yeah.
So the open mic will be free and
we'll come on down.
We'll start doing that. I think, I don't know. I don't have an exact date yet, but I think May, Sunday nights in May, there isn't anything else that I know of that goes on Sunday nights.
Sunday's already my day off, people.
So, yeah. I think Sunday is like the only open mics are like a Comedy Store, right? And the potluck.
Maybe. Which is
where you sign up 1 week and come back the next week.
Yeah.
Remember when someone told me that, I was in line. I was like, man, I hope we get up tonight. He's like, well, no, you're here in line for next week. I was like, fuck this.
Yeah, no, the Bruco does it great. Like, there's a sign up at a certain time. It's like 7:30, 7:45. People come, they write their name, put it in a hat. Vance Sanders and Robert Yesimura draw names. And there's a certain number of spots
where you get
5 minutes or 3 minute work in if you're a regular. And you know, if you don't get picked that week, then you don't get picked. But still, you know, like 30 or 40 people will get to go up.
Yeah, they try to get everybody in.
It's fun.
They try to work everyone in.
And I love it. I love how open mics become their own little communities.
It's
like, for better or for worse, you're seeing these people that you might like, you might hate, but you see them every week and then... And you become familiar with them.
You know, to be a new person going into an open mic is such an interesting social dynamic because it's very insular when you get there. There are people, there's inside jokes that you don't get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People are very...
Yeah.
you would think in an open mic where people would, you know, you think like, oh, well, they're going to be accepting of everyone. They can be very closed off to new people. Yeah. That's what killed the UCLA. When we did the comedy club at UCLA, no new people would come in because when they would, this little group we had was so... Would like scare people away. So
and that's really funny because I remember even when I started doing open mics around town, like every open mic said about every other open mic is like, oh, they're so clicky. Oh, the Brewco's so clicky. Oh, the Unurban is so clicky.
And right.
I'm like, well, no, every I guess the entire thing.
They're all clicky because you know, like the whole thing about an open mic is people are getting stage time because it's difficult for them to get stage time elsewhere.
Yeah.
And so they get very territorial because they're like, no, no, this is our thing.
Yeah, exactly. But who are these new guys?
But I'm telling you. If you ignore that shit and you just get up and you do your work, they will accept you. It's sort of like it's almost like a test where if you get scared off by what they are putting out, then it, you know. It, but if you go through that, it's just like just keep looking straight ahead, Atreyu. Don't let the statues shoot you down with their laser eyes.
Exactly.
You know, like if you just walk through, then you know within a couple of weeks they will accept you and you'll be part of the group.
But don't let the Swamps of Sadness. What are they called? the horse.
Oh, right.
What's the fucking horse's name?
Well, the horse's name was.
Here's a fucking bunch of kids listening to this go like yelling the horse's name. Yeah, at their fucking. And they're probably embarrassing themselves.
Well, I remember Falcor, the flying Shih Tzu.
Falcor is the luck dragon. Atreyu, Falcor.
Is it Artex?
Artex, yeah. Artex, no!
No! Oh, I cried so hard when that happened. When I was a kid, that fucking tore me in half.
Yeah, there was actually really funny. There was a show that Matt Dwyer put on at the in Eagle Rock. And so like he said, before the show, Al Madrigal is going to have a barbecue. And so everyone was getting ready for this barbecue before the show. But it rained that day. And Al was like, hey, my backyard is really muddy. We have to do this. And everyone said, like, hey, bullshit. He's like, no, here's a picture of it. It was a picture of his backyard, but then he put in another picture of this, like, mudslide from South America. And then like, Duncan Trussell, like, you know, this became an email chain. Duncan Trussell replied all saying, that's nothing. This is my 10th birthday. And it's just, like, people stuck in mud, like dying from a mudslide. And I said, don't bring up any kind of mud, guys. It's like, I remember when I lost Artex, and that was just a picture of Artex sinking into the swamp.
Now, I don't mean to be gross, because I was roughly the same age as the kids in the movie for Neverending Story. But at the very end, when Bastion is there with the queen, and then she's like, save our world. Like, I had all these fantasies of like, why don't you save my boner? Like, I totally thought he had a chance.
Yeah.
Because literally, he was the god of that world.
Yeah, he could create it.
He may have.
Yeah.
He very well may have.
We actually, on Super News, the cartoon I worked for, we had this thing about memes, you know, a couple years ago. And I remember one of the ends where it's like all the memes just kind of collapsed in on themselves. And just all that was left was a little... thing. And then it was just a speck, and it's just like, you know, it's like, wish for a meme. Think of an ironic phrase to put on it. You have to
give me a name.
Yeah.
Exactly. Give me a meme.
Give me a meme.
I still never heard what I still could never understand what his mother's name was. He screams it out.
Yeah, it's Eva. No, yeah.
His mom didn't have a name.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he yelled. I didn't have a mom.
I was adopted. My mom is an orphanage.
Oh, man.
I started watching... I've been sort of catching a few episodes here and there of Justified, but I really started watching it last night. It's a fucking great show.
I want to... Actually, you know what's making me want to watch it is I've just been playing so much Undead Nightmare. Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure it's Timothy Olyphant doing the voice for...
Probably.
Yeah. And so just... Hearing him talk, I was like, fuck, I love this dude's voice. I want to watch Justified.
I have to search this because I want to credit it to the dude who wrote it. Someone, because yesterday, last night on Twitter, I said something like, oh my God, Justified is such a great show.
That's a good country song, too. I want to credit it to the dude who posted it first on Facebook.
No, he posted it on Twitter. But it was such a.
I'm into it.
Damn it! I can't find it. Yeah. I can't find it. But basically, a guy sent a tweet that said, Yeah, you know, his character on Justified, it's like he's recapturing the Seth Bullock without the I smell shit look on my face. Seth Bullock always had that look of like, yeah, I don't want to be here. Something, you know. So that it is great to see him. It is great to see like contemporary Seth Bullock like kicking the shit out of people.
Nice. Oh, Walking Dead Season 1 is on DVD.
Nice.
Yes. I got some copies for you fellas from our friends over at AMC.
For me? Or are you telling the podcast audience?
No, for you guys, my friends, actual friends. Not these assholes listening at home.
Well.
It's my character. My character. Being an asshole with a smile on your face means you have charm.
Blu-ray, right?
Blu-ray, yeah. But yeah, it's...
Otherwise, I wouldn't just...
It's great. I recommend. I mean, I think it was a great series. It was shot beautifully. It trudged very well. I think you didn't like it.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I was wincing because Matthew was trying to sit down and he's in so much pain.
When we go to Austin and I have to sit down for an hour.
What if we put you behind a podium and you just kind of play as our announcer?
That'd be
fine. We'll stand you up.
Yeah. Just get him a podium.
Oh God, Matthew, I'm so sorry.
It hurts so much.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm so sorry. Anyway, guys, continue. I'll just kneel.
Stand up.
Isn't that weird?
No, cares if you're standing up?
It's just the three of us in a fucking room.
Yeah, you're right, Matthew. You should really... Listen, your comfort level should be compromised by...
Don't worry about it. Keep going, man.
Just stand up.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Why is Matt standing?
It's really weird now. Like it's like it's a powerful fucking move.
I wish you would just sit down. Did you just read 48 Laws of Power?
Yes, I did.
Law 47. No. Stand over people always. I watched the first three episodes of Episodes last night.
Oh, how is that?
It's good. There's only one thing about the show that drives me fucking crazy. I think the show is great. I think Matt LeBlanc is great on the show.
It's not the comeback.
It's the British people.
It is not the comeback. The British people are phenomenal. No, everyone on the show is phenomenal. Here's the nerdy thing that pisses me off. Whenever someone answers or hangs up an iPhone on the show, their Foley person has put in a beep that you would get on a portable handset from in your house, like a landline phone. So every time they go to answer an iPhone, you hear beep, and I was literally shouting like there was a bit of a start. I was like, the iPhone does not make that noise when you hit it. That is a house phone that you're answering. That immediately took me out of it. Your Foley person should be fucking fired into last week.
No, I hate it when like on a show where someone will hang. They'll be on cell phones and someone will hang up on you. You hear
dial tone.
Boop, 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 boop. It's like no. It's just
you don't get a dial tone or the boop boop boop.
No, you get about 10 seconds of hello.
Have these fucking Foley people never used a goddamn cell phone before that they don't know the sound that it makes?
No, it's fucking ridiculous.
They might not. Have you seen Foley people?
Have you seen Dave Foley people?
Dave, I think Dave Foley is. A Foley artist would be great on Web Soup.
Yes, that would be good. We should do that.
We should ask him if he'll come on.
Brad's plan on trying to get all of them on the show this season.
Oh, I can help with. I know Bruce and I know Kevin.
Yeah.
And kind of Scott.
So we don't need him at the same time.
No, we'll just do our collectibles. You know what we should do? We should do our collectibles, and then we'll just go to like a digital shelf where we each as we just collect them throughout the season.
Exactly. When we make our Second Life house of Web Soup, and we just put it right there. Put the clip on a shelf.
I love. Bruce is so fucking funny. Bruce McCullough is so funny. Furman and I did. We did backing music for him at San Francisco Sketch Fest in 2005. Because he put out a couple albums.
Shame Based Man, which is a great album.
And the Drunk Baby Project.
Yes.
Which is great. And when I first met him, he was like, hello, I'm Bruce. I can help your career. I'm a kid in the hall. Like, I instantly love you. I instantly love you, Bruce McCullough.
That's great.
So we'll get them all on for sure.
Yeah.
What else are you guys, what else is going on with you this week, John Ray?
I'm just leaving for Austin. Going to spend the weekend in Austin with Deanna. Gonna eat some barbecue and drink some beers.
Barbecue.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
it. I can eat barbecue. Not sitting down, though.
A little bummed I'm not going to be there for the music portion. I miss that. Oh, you know what's something that weird that happened to me this week?
I got possessed by a demon.
Yeah. Well, both of us. We were in the 50 states.
In the Huffington Post. Someone sent me that.
Yeah. And then also it was posted on the Nerdist site.
Yes. Perry. Yeah, Perry put it up on the Nerdist site.
It was bittersweet, though, because it's like I was the person, the comedian for Hawaii, but my whole stance was like, well, who else would it... could it be?
It's a very negative attitude.
Well, then I was looking through the comments section on the HuffPost article, and someone's
mistake.
There was a Nerdist listener. I can't remember his name, but he's saying, like, so don't get me wrong, I like Jonah Ray, but he's right about how there would just be, they're like, this is, it's not that impressive because, you know, there's no one in Hawaii comedy.
2 years ago, you wouldn't have made that list. That's all I'm saying. 2 years ago, you would not have made that list.
That's true.
So that is a step up. And then
it would have been Andy Bumatai.
It could have been.
Yeah.
I
got narrowly beat up by Conan O'Brien from Massachusetts.
Narrowly. Yeah.
Or Poi Poop, the guy who poops out poi.
Yes.
That's his comedy act.
I hate poi so much. We have a listener that lives in Poipu, Kauai.
Does every Hawaiian island have a Poipu?
As far as I know, there's just Poipu Beach, the town in Kauai.
Okay.
Yeah, which is a great, great body surfing spot.
Awesome.
Yeah, but it's just really odd to me that, like, that's how far our reach goes. Kauai is a tiny island.
I love Kauai.
Yeah, it's great.
I went there
it's
once.
The Garden Isle.
Years and years and years and years ago. We kayaked out to the waterfall from the opening scene of Fantasy Island.
Ah, yes.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. Which is also, didn't they use that in the 1984 King Kong?
I don't know everything. Someone.
Is that how you have to respond to a lot of people these days that, like, just think you're nerdy about everything?
I know, it's like,
just, I don't know everything.
Like, I'll get emails from people asking how to beat certain levels on games I've never heard of. Like,
Actually, I mean, like, that happens a lot where a lot of people just suppose that they're like, oh, well, Star Trek, and they'll say some references. I was like, oh, no, I had never really watched Star Trek. I'm sorry. Like, I thought you were a nerd. And I was like, yeah, I was, like, I watched movies and, I watched horror movies and listened to punk rock. That's, like, my nerdy background, you know?
I'm trying to, you know, I still try to keep up on that. I mean, I have that enhanced first season of Star Trek on my iPad, which I go back to when I travel a lot.
Yeah.
I also started watching Dollhouse. I was revisiting Dollhouse episodes because I'm moderating a panel with Eliza Dushku.
Oh, that's right.
At the C2E2 in Chicago next week.
But do you think people
during
like
the date,
you, that's
the
a weird thing
shows.
That that's a weird thing that nerds do though is that they just kind of they're like, oh, you're nerdy in this way, you must be nerdy in every other way that I am.
Yeah, and I mean, truthfully, it's very hard to be nerdy about everything because there just isn't enough time in the day to work. Like, you could, it's very hard to, you know, to, like, to work at your job.
Yeah.
And then, and read comic books and watch movies and, you know, like, watch horror movies, watch sci-fi movies and play video games all night and like,
know sports stats.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, there's enough time to sort of focus on one thing.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, it's like, when it comes to, it's like, you know, I read comic books, but I read the comic books I like and that I know of and that I get into. I don't read all comic books. Right. I play video games, but I'm really into the video games I like. And a lot of people get mad at me when I say this, but fuck first person shooters. They make me dizzy.
Yeah.
I hate Modern Warfare. I hate Call of Duty. Like, and those are the biggest games in the world. Yet I could give a shit because, like, they fucking, I get
Red Dead doesn't bother you?
No, it's third person. Like one of my favorite games of all time is Resident Evil 4 for the Wii edition.
Yeah.
And it's just great. I like seeing the guy. I like seeing what's around him. Like, it's like, that's why I never got into Doom. Doom made me sick as a kid.
I never really liked first person shooters. I always loved like RPGs like Final Fantasy and Wild Arms and
really I've never guessed that.
Because they have more of the D&D element to them, which love.
No, that's what I figured. I never got into RPGs. I just kind of found them, you know, like in the end, I'm a side scroller purist kind of guy. Like, you know, like
In the end, I'm a side scroller purist.
Yeah, no, I'll play my, you know, Super Mario Land for Super Nintendo. It's like I can just go back to that game and play it. I love it so much. I know a lot of our listeners were born when that came out, but
it's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
A lot of them aren't. We have some older folks.
I was looking through the iTunes comments. There's like a. Like a mother of four, like a house mom that's just like listens to us. And
that's awesome.
Like, yeah, it's very nice, a diverse crowd.
Do you want to answer some questions?
Are these questions? Are these comments?
Are they questions? Are they comments? Are they comments?
I couldn't remember it.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a comment. Wait. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a comment. Wait, this is a fun one. I wanted to start off with this one. I hope I can find it. Where is he? Well, first of all, we should talk about the Christopher Coleman contest.
Oh, how's that going?
The Boston BFF contest.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. I'm going to post on Nerdist. It will be posted by the time this podcast goes up. But another guy, remember a couple weeks ago I read a comment from a guy who apologized for writing a negative review yes. on iTunes?
Yeah, yeah,
well, he hooked up with this Chris Coleman kid. Chris Coleman is a guy... No.
Oh.
Not in the face-fucking sense. Was that your slide whistle?
That's why I went back. I took that back.
So Chris Coleman is this kid who lives in San Diego. He bought four tickets to the Wilbur show in Boston that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And which, by the way, I think I can go ahead and announce that Mike Furman is going to open the show in Boston at the Wilbur Theater. Mike Furman's going to do. Mike's set is awesome. He's going to open the show, and then I'll do my thing, and then you know.
You guys going to play some songs?
Yeah, we might play a few songs.
Is that how you're going to treat it on stage? Maybe we cheer. Maybe Mike will come out and play a few songs.
Well, we always do this. We always do this thing where we're like. So we're gonna do an encore at the end of the set. So we're gonna go off like we just tell everyone. What
yeah,
we're
yeah.
Gonna do.
I like that Henry Phillips thing where he likes it when you start when a musician starts playing a song and everyone recognizes it from.
Oh yeah, bars. Yeah. So he tells everyone to freak out. Yeah, and they recognize the
so
song.
When I start playing this next song, just cheer like you know what it is.
And you know what's awesome about that thing that Henry does is that it really does make the song more fun. Yeah, when you get everyone to the
thank you.
So, but this kid Chris Coleman bought four tickets to the Wilbur show and he. Has no friends in Boston, so he's doing a Be My BFF contest.
Awesome.
So he has some rules for what you have to do to be his best friend, and if he likes you, he'll pick three people to hang out with him, be his best friends, and you'll get tickets to the show.
That's great.
So I'll post that. That'll all be up on Nerdist by the time.
And that
guy who made the negative comment made an awesome video when we talked about the contest for the first time. He put in all these images.
Oh wow!
That followed, you know, like the 3-minute conversation we had the first time. So that will be up on Nerdist as well. We have awesome fans.
That BFF contest. They got to remember to take make a video out of it or make a picture thing. You know, make a little post about it, and we can. That'd be neat to see.
We'll do it. Yeah, we'll take pictures.
There are Twitter rumblings of a tweet up at Anna's Taqueria.
There have been tons. Yeah. So I know we have to sound check at some point early in the day, but I'd totally be up for like doing an Anna's Taqueria run. It's like a mile and a half from the Wilbur, I think.
Super canitas.
Everyone will be really into enjoying their burritos, literally.
Literally.
Literally enjoying their burritos.
I'm not enjoying his burritos.
I don't know if it's changed, but it was cash only when I used to go there. So
good point.
Bring cash.
I hate cash only, but it's good to know.
Yep.
All right, this is from Jacqueline Ronan. Hi, fellas, Matt, Chris, and Jonah. This is Jackie in Chicago, formerly of Boston.
Hello, Jackie.
Thanks for putting me first.
Yay! Yay! All right, so I'm writing to you today for help. My best friend and fellow Nerdist listener, Allie, is going through a tough time.
Aww.
She left a good-paying, shitty job for a reasonable-paying, great job, but at the last minute, her employer backed out, leaving her jobless.
Oh, shit.
Allie's very talented and a wonderful person. Scratch that. A wonderful living entity. Why narrow it to just humans, she says. And she is right. An animator by trade, comic book writer by hobby, she is just the coolest. It would really lift her spirits if you guys could give her a shout-out and some words of encouragement and advice on finding employment in these troubled times. Her website is 24crayons.com. I'm not asking it to be read out loud on the podcast. Just want to show you all her works. Feel free to go.
Too late.
So it's too late. I read it on the podcast. I went to 24crayons.com, and Allie's work is adorable.
Awesome.
It is so charming, like to the point where it gave me this idea, like we should reach out to people like Allie and say, hey, if you want to make a 1-minute like commercial for Nerdist, whether it's the podcast or the Nerdist website overall or whatever.
Or just Chris as a person.
No, you don't have to make a commercial for me as a person. That would be awful. That would be so narcissistic.
I would love it.
That level of narcissism is even out of my grasp.
Yeah.
So, if you want to make a 1-minute, what we'll do is I started the Nerdist TV YouTube account. So it's just Nerdist TV. And, you know, we can just favorite all those. Like, you can make a playlist, right?
Oh, cool.
We can favorite all those.
Yeah, we got a couple already from that one kid.
Yeah, so, yeah. There, we have a couple people that are doing, like, Heathsplosion did a really did a really cool one. And then
and then
this kid Daniel is
the cartoon
is animating some of our bits from the Kevin Smith show.
Yeah.
Great.
So, like, people are sending us all sorts of awesome stuff.
Oh, thanks to that kid for making me look so thin.
Well, between me and Kevin Smith.
So, yeah, so Allie, your site, 24 Crayons, is awesome. You're having a little bit of a rough time right now, but the important thing is that you're talented and you have to just keep making stuff and it will work for you. Like, just like Matt's open mic thing, you just have to fucking do it.
And Allie, if you're desperate, the Apple Store is always hiring.
And, well, that's separate from the job you work at, right, Matthew?
Not the same thing, why?
No, I don't know why that... So, yeah, so if you're out there and you're looking for someone who does awesome, adorable animations, check out Allie's site at 24crayons.com.
Yeah. Also, Allie, remember that, like, we're not saying that once you start following your dream, it's going to start working out. These past 10 years of my life, I've been mostly in destitute. I've gotten parking tickets I couldn't pay for, then boots on my car. I couldn't pay for anything. I remember scrounging around for change to get, BRC burritos from El Pollo Loco. I was broke and I was, just horrible. Like, I couldn't do anything. And I was just like, I would save enough money sometimes because, certain open mics, you would need to have like $3 to buy a coffee. And it's nothing works out right away, but if you just kind of stay positive and work hard.
But you know for a fact that it's not going to work out at all if you stay stuck in something that's crushing your
exactly.
soul.
And it's a really unfortunate.
I don't know what
that,
you mean.
It's really unfortunate that happened with your job.
It could turn out to be the best thing in the world for you if it opens another door later. Like because stuff's starting to pay off for you now. Can you imagine if you hadn't even tried to pursue it? And truthfully, those first, 5 years, you were, fucking partying a lot, too.
It's pretty much all I was doing.
It's not like you were actively pursuing everything in the first few years. Like, you were tearing shit up.
Yeah, I was still growing up. I was still a kid. Yeah. What happened was, I started seeing all these people that I started open mics with just skyrocketing past me. And I realized that, maybe hanging out and just being a shitty hipster, and going to these parties and stuff like that wasn't part of it. Being the lovable scumbag and kind of just skipping through life and kind of not writing material really ended up being like the worst thing.
Well, the important thing is it's like the formula. This is so much stuff that I wrote about in the Nerdist Way book that I hope comes through with sincerity, but it is you figure out what you want, you figure out what you're good at, what you like to do, and you make a plan, and then you just try to stick to it. And if your plan changes later, that's fine. But, every day that you can do something to sort of move closer to the thing that you want to do, the goal that you have, is that much better. And it'll pay off. Sooner or later, it'll pay off. And when it does, you will be very excited and happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's so much more rewarding when you get to build something yourself rather than, just shit just falls into your lap and you don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because for me, all the MTV stuff when I was a kid just fell into my lap and I did not appreciate it. And I had to fuck up so much. I had to fuck up my entire 20s before I could appreciate, no. You actually have to have a vision and work hard and, take daily steps to achieve stuff. You can't, you can't just expect shit to fall in your lap.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I realized that thanks to you, you talked me through, some of the, kind of near the end where I started kind of petering out.
Right before you killed yourself.
Yes, exactly. Right, and then I regenerated as this motivated asshole. Back then, I was just a sweet, lovable lush. Also Neil Mahoney was really there for me where he's like, hey, you can't just party yourself into a career.
No. That is great advice. Yeah. You can't party yourself into a career.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. So things seem to be working out for you. Okay. Hang in there, Allie. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just keep making the awesome work that you make. And many hugs to you. Okay. Jordan Phoenix writes, hey nerds, in the same vein as the guy who wanted to know which superpower you'd pick, I have a question for you. What would your Twilight episode be? Not which is your favorite or which you'd like to live in. Rather, if Rod Serling produced an episode about you, what would be the ironic twist in your life? What personal flaw would the episode magnify, or what wish would it fulfill only to bitterly twist that wish into a nightmare? I guess he's asking, what would the Faustian clause be? Yeah. My twist, you can't write your own episode. The other hosts have to do it for you because people rarely see it as their own deepest flaws.
Well, that's kind of, that can raise quite the arguments. That's kind of mean. That's a mean.
Because I already had
That's like a schoolyard insult. You know what your Twilight Zone episode would be?
Dude, don't even tell me what my Twilight Zone episode is.
Your Twilight Zone episode would be that, and then I'm not going to finish it because that would be me.
And then mine would be, well, your Twilight Zone episode is you get all high and mighty with me about what my Twilight Zone episode is, and then the Twilight Zone mouth comes out of the sky and just bites you in half.
Here's mine. I finally continue to lose weight, and then I'm walking, and I pass a manhole cover and die because I fall. Had I been fat, I would not have fallen and died.
Yep, that is very likely to happen. That is very likely to happen.
Matt,
so you
always
make
the circumference of just a little bit more.
Make sure and pack on as much weight as possible because of any open manhole covers the kids keep dying from. Oh, that's hilarious. That is hilarious.
That's when Matt finally scored his manhole in one.
Oh, I like that.
Thanks.
Matt having to get up again. God damn it, man. I feel so bad. When are you going to be okay with this? Are you going to have back surgery?
I might.
What was that joke you had? He had a Twilight Zone joke way back in the day where it was like, nice try, asshole.
Yeah, the show should be called Nice Try, Asshole. Because the whole episode is always about people getting all arrogant and trying to pull shit over on the universe. And the universe is like, you know, nice try, asshole. So, like, at the end, Rod Serling would come out and be like, you know, in the beginning, this man had a dream. But in the end, it was that dream that knitted his blanket of loneliness. Nice try, asshole. And then he would just take a puff of a cigarette and walk off.
That's awesome.
Because that's every show was... I mean, what a groundbreaking show that was.
We should ride the Tower of Terror together.
Which has little to do with Twilight Zone at all.
But it is fun, and the pathway to the ride is delightful.
Let's do it. Let's do a tweet up at Disney. Let's see how many people we can get in the gate.
We could do that someday. We could totally do that someday.
Hard to hang out with a bunch of people at Disneyland, though.
You don't tell them when. You just go, and then you say.
Oh, and then you find them?
Yeah.
And then they have to find you and tag you?
Well, no.
They tag you and twit pit.
And you say, tweet up at Indiana Jones at this time, and then we're there. See, we don't do it. We don't have to pre.
Hey, everybody, the line's only an hour and a half long.
So Doug Welch writes, subject line, exterminate! Hey, I just recently watched last season of Doctor Who because you guys rave about it so much. I've been a lifelong fanboy but stayed away from Star Trek and Who because I always liked doing sex to girls and thought comics were bad enough and I would have no chance of ever getting laid if all I did was talk about holodecks and Time Lords. Wrong! You can. Go to Comic-Con. Now I'm in my 30s and married, so I have no chance of getting laid ever, so I decided, what the hell? The point is, I was watching the episode where the Daleks show up and noticed something cool.
Is this a spoiler?
No.
Okay.
Like every suburban kid who thought he was punk rock, I used to watch Sid and Nancy on a weekly basis, and there's a part where Johnny and Sid start screaming in unison, exterminate, exterminate. I always chalked it up to some British thing I didn't get. Turns out I was right. They were imitating Daleks. Now my wife calls me an A1 prime nerd for watching Doctor Who. I tell her I'm not a nerd. I'm punk as fuck, just like Sid.
That's great.
Excellent, Doug Welch. Excellent. You can get laid. Nerds do like to have sex, it turns out. You just need to go to the right... You can't go to a shishi bar where people are sipping Cosmopolitans and be like, exterminate! And then expect to be a pussy magnet.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to go to...
Meltdown.
You need to go to our Meltdown shows. Yeah. You need to go to Gallifrey 1. You need to go to Comic-Cons, WonderCon, C2, E2, Emerald City. Like, You need to go where the nerds meet, greet, and
exactly.
mate.
But not you, because you're married with kids.
Yes. You shouldn't do that.
Sawed off.
Unless you and your wife are menage a trois nerds, which is a whole
there
form
you go,
of nerds.
There you go. Go to Ed's nerd speed dating.
I like the number 3. I like prime numbers. Sorry, babe. I like prime numbers. The other thing is that Doctor Who, new series, season 6, premiering April 23rd, 9 p.m. 23rd, 9 p.m. BBC America.
Got a lot of catching up to do.
Very excited.
You got a month.
You got a month and a half. Let's see. Let's
borrow the Blu-ray.
Don't have a Blu-ray player.
You don't have a Blu-ray player. What are you? 100 years old?
Yep, that's right. Everyone over 100 does not have a Blu-ray player. That is technically an accurate data point.
No, I use a PS3.
Then there you go. You can fucking play Blu-ray.
All right. So. Let's go to Nerdist.com/Clements.
It's a question.
It's a comment.
Are we already arguing about what the theme song is
just made up? It's a question. It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a quement. It's a comment. It's a fucking. It's a...
I'm trying to find the a guy wrote me an email. A guy wrote me an email that says that, or someone sent me a tweet that was like, "I beg of you to change the word Clements."
Oh, really?
Yeah, for some reason.
Well, you don't like the fact that it's a question.
But it's a comment.
It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a Clement. But it's a question, rather a comment. A question and a comment. It's a Clement.
Here we go. This is from Zamir. "Hey, guys, I find that Noodle Stories running thing really annoying."
It's
an inside joke that even when you're in on it, is still not funny. I don't know what is the exact reason why I find it so annoying and why I'm even writing about it to be annoyed at less than a minute of your show on a weekly basis, but I am. Honestly, I think since the joke started as a joke between a couple, it's only really funny in between those two, and even when you try to be inclusive, it just feels like you're doing it to be polite. That said, I don't really care if it keeps going on the podcast, and I doubt there's a parade of emails complaining about this.
Hey, and thanks for being part of this week's
Noodle Stories. If you don't like a noodle story, just write it. There's no inside joke. It's just there's a place called Noodle Stories that I think they sell clothes or like dresses that are recycled into decoupage or something.
And then Chris riffed on the idea that there's actually stories called Noodle Stories.
It sounds like a new age hippie book that someone would sell where each page only has one sentence on it and they convinced the publisher to send to buy it.
And I'm pretty sure we've only joked around about it twice.
I know.
This being the third time.
Well, maybe he listened seven times to each episode.
Exactly.
That happens.
Exactly.
But I love the fact that he's not being attacky, he's just being honest, which,
it's fine.
This is a criticism email I can get behind. He's not saying, like, "Fuck you guys in the mouths, you cocksuckers." He's just saying, "Hey, I find this thing annoying, and I don't know what it is.
Fuck you and your noodle story."
Fuck your noodle stories.
Who are you now?
What?
What was that voice?
It's just a voice.
All right. Jesus Christ.
It was Gaston.
She just laughed her earbuds out of her head.
His tweaked audio earbuds?
His tweaked audio earbuds.
Yeah.
"Doing characters will help socially lubricate any situation." Mm. Noodle stories.
So that.
"Sorry, Zamir. We just did another noodle story."
Noodle.
I don't know. It's dumb. It's just the phrase "noodle stories" in that voice, which sounds like it would be the voice of noodle stories, is delightful to me.
Yeah, but they never say noodle. They go, "Noodle stories."
Noodle stories.
Noodle.
All right. Yeah, I think that's pretty much
it. That's it?
What?
More questions? Soon. Comments? Clements?
That was it.
Where are we at?
All right, we're at 50. We're at 50 right now.
That feels short. Let's give him an hour.
Okay. All right.
Get ready for the 10 most boring, scrambly minutes of any
pod. What do we need?
Who's it? We'll cut this part out. We'll cut this part out.
Okay, this is from Avery. "I'm a 15-year-old student from Calgary, Canada. I've always been a fan, blah, 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 web soup. I just wanted to you guys to know the podcast gets me through my day. I go to a high school where most listen exclusively to either Kesha or country."
Oh.
Yeah, we're right outside the Kesha country bubble.
Holy shit, if Kesha put out a country album.
Oh, that would be bad too. Where most people think that Jeff Dunham is either the king of modern comedy, and where my friends aren't. So listening to back eps of Nerdist keeps me sane. Thanks guys so much. From a true comedy nerd and aspiring comedian, come to Calgary, enjoy your burrito." Although we do say in Canada, "Enjoy your poutine."
Yeah.
But,
so it sounds like you must be in high school.
But you know what I gotta say? I love about this kid. How much of ourselves do we see in this? Where, you know, growing up a comedy nerd, you were usually in the minority in your school.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, when other kids were, you know, like, talking about sports or parties or whatever, and then I would show up and quote, like, old Emo Phillips bits, I was not popular for doing that. And I'm sure you in Hawaii, as a comedy nerd, probably experienced some of the same thing.
Yeah, it was the same thing. I mean, like, I had my group of friends, though, that, you know, we would talk about comedy and stuff like that, and we would sit around.
My God, this kid is so lucky that he is a high school kid in the internet age. Like, I'm more lucky than kids who grew up in the 50s that at least I had television and there was at least a form of comedy being delivered to me that I could that I could access easily.
Yeah, no, I mean, even for me it was the same. It was just TV and movies, you know. It was the same exact thing. More to pull from.
What did comedy nerds do in the dark ages?
Did you check out?
They got
did you
leprosy.
Check out that, the painting that Derek did on that wall, that cave wall? It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, man, I don't fucking get it.
No, it's just kind of a...
I'm going to hit you with a rock.
All right, all right.
Yeah, that's what nerds... That's what happened to old nerds. But I love that Avery is 15 years old and he's embracing his comedy nerd. And you know, maybe we may come to Canada at some time.
When I was 15, I would stay up and watch Letterman and Conan.
Yeah.
That's what I would do when I was 15. And then I would go talk about it at school and everyone was like, what?
Yeah, I remember trying to explain to my...
sleeping.
I remember trying to explain to my friends Mr. Show the first time I saw it. I was like, and everything ran into each other like Monty Python. And then it was, huh?
What's that?
Yeah, exactly.
No, you guys, like, you know
that British show you turn off when it comes on Comedy Central?
You know what most high school kids don't understand? Harold and Maude references. That's what I learned.
Yeah.
That's what I learned. Thankfully, I had chess club and Latin class. Oh, here we go. This is from John. Hey, guys. I want to love the show. You guys are great. Quick story. I was at a friend's party the other day. Met a pretty cool girl, but as a bit of a nerd, I'm not always so smooth while talking to the ladies. I want to put boners in your holes. Where are you going? This time, though, instead of cowering in a corner and not talking to the pretty lady, I decided, fuck it, I'm going to enjoy my burrito. Which in this context sounds weirdly sexual, but it is not. Anyway, now this guy has a date tomorrow. Credit goes to the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank guys. In other news, a young woman was raped with a burrito outside of this man's town.
He etched a laser symbol into her chest.
Oh, God, no!
They're calling him the Nerdist Killer.
No! No, the worst press ever! Yeah. Also, when are you going to have Chris Hardwick, Rubik's Cube Master, on the podcast?
Live, come in and
Chris Hardwick on Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, you know what sounds really cool? Rubik's Cube being solved.
Yeah, there is a Chris Hardwick Rubik's Cube champion, and he has decent SEO, because if you Google Chris Hardwick, which of course I have, he shows up. And I've been trying to figure out how to bump that guy off the front to the front page.
Wade Randolph, new writer, producer on Web Soup, he's been trying really hard for a while to be the first Wade Randolph that comes up in Google Images.
Yep.
And it's been this a motivational speaker guy. That's like the first three images.
Oh, well, he's not going to beat a motivational speaker.
Ah, he did.
Oh!
He did. He kind of put it out there and he kept on telling everybody to search it and search it, and then it became the number one pick.
Good for you, Wade Randolph.
It's a picture of him in the shower.
I hate Google. I Google image searched myself a few months ago. All right, last week. And because, you kind of want to see, what images are out there of me?
Yeah.
And a bunch of them are drunk Chris Hardwick pictures, and it fucking infuriates me that I can't pull those off. Like, these fat, greasy, disgusting pictures that show up. Like, image search is just like a fucking... a guidance counselor holding up shit in your face all the time. Like, remember this? Remember when you did this? This is a thing.
Yeah.
Remember how you were like this?
And it's only going to happen more and more for people.
Yeah.
Just gonna pictures, fucking everything.
Everything's recorded always.
Life is being documented digitally.
God damn it.
I know. I feel sorry for kids.
What are we going to do with them?
Hard enough, coming across an old VHS tape at your parents' house, putting it in, so you just being irritating as fuck.
It's been weird. Like, I Google myself now, and it actually comes up like a reel when you Google someone page. Like, you get images, and my Twitter feed says live. Feed for Matt Myra, and like weird.
Nice.
Except they don't have a Wikipedia page, people. Get on that.
Here's the last one. Yeah, make Matt a Wikipedia page.
Don't kill me anymore on my Wikipedia page.
And please stop telling everyone that I have a brother named Peter and that my mother is named Marge and that she's a high school teacher or something. I don't know. None of that's true.
What?
Someone posted a wonderful Wikipedia page for me that was the most insane, that I used to. Something about I used to set giraffes on fire. It was one of those weird stream of consciousness ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Wikipedia Nazis pulled it down. And I'm you pulled down an awesome one in favor of this information that also is not true? My mom's name isn't Marge.
But it looks less not true.
That's true. That's the thing. That's the trick, is that the information seems just real enough.
Yeah.
Here's a tweet from Reanimator. And that's actually, it's Reanimator, Reanimator. You mentioned on Nerd Clusters a podcast with Dave Foley, but I couldn't catch the name of what was the podcast. WTF with Mark Maron.
One of the best podcasts out there. WTF
Absolutely.
With Mark Maron. So, so good. Actually, do yourself a favor and check out the Mike DiStefano episode. Mike DiStefano is an awesome comic from New York that just recently passed away. And his episode of Mark Maron's podcast is one of the most awesome, heartwarming episodes you can listen to. It's a really, really good one.
That's great.
And it's a bummer too, because you listen to it and you're like, fuck, what a fucking loss.
Yeah.
This guy was great. The guy was awesome.
Well, and Mark Maron's podcast is fucking killing it.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy it's for Mark. Stuff. He fucking deserves it.
The Dino Stamatopoulos episode
is
great.
Is it too good?
Yes.
Dino's so fucking
great. For all the reasons you would want. Dino Stamatopoulos, who is, of course, the guy responsible for a lot of the most progressive comedy in the past 20 years. He wrote on Ben Stiller's show, Dana Carvey's show. He was part of the first writing staff of the Conan O'Brien.
He was on TV Funhouse.
TV Funhouse.
Moral Oral with Scott Adsit.
Moral Oral, Frankenhole, Mr. Show. He's done.
He's a face you may not know, but you know his words.
No, you know his face now because he's Starburns in Community.
Oh, right. Okay, there you go. Now you know who Dino Stamatopoulos is. But he's
responsible for some of the best fucking shows.
He's one of those guys that's he's the real deal.
Yeah.
I love Dino.
Yeah. So you have check out his episode. I think it just this past Monday's episode. It was just.
By the way, when I was in New York a couple days ago, I got a call at 10:40 from Jeremy Lebenbach.
Is that how late he called you?
Called me at 10:40. I was in my pajamas.
I am so sorry then.
No. Oh, no, 10:40 was fine. I
gave him your number.
I was doing book stuff or whatever. So Jeremy calls me at 10:40. He was like, hey, do you want to come do Whiplash at 11 p.m.? Now, Whiplash used to be the crash test spot at UCB New York.
Which was Aziz's and Paul's show.
Yeah, Monday nights at 11. And Whiplash is a legendary show now. And I was like, of course I'll come down. He was like, Aziz is doing it, Zach's doing it, and like all these great people. And so I put on clothes and went up to UCB New York and did Whiplash, and it was such a fucking blast, man.
Yeah, it's a good show.
If you're ever in New York, Monday night, 11 o'clock, Whiplash is a goddamn comedy
and it's
goldmine.
Free, right?
I don't know if it's free.
You
would have to go to UCBtheater.com and check it out. But thank you to Jeremy for pulling me on to the show and for everyone who came to that, because it was just a surprise. I had no idea I was going to do it.
Yeah.
And then I went up and jam-packed. So jam-packed with comedy nerds. It was a joy and a half.
That's awesome.
So that was fun. And then if you're in L.A., Friday, March 11th, I am having a chat with Jimmy Fallon at the Paley Center of Media. So
that's
iPad 2 comes out tomorrow.
It's tomorrow, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, it'll be today by the time. I'll probably put this up at midnight tonight.
Midnight!
You'll be at work! Hooray! No, that's not what you do. God damn it.
Guys, we're doing a really bad job of keeping it secret. I think we have this past year. It's just been a really bad job at it.
What are you talking about?
You know why? Because I think on a certain level, we kind of hope that he doesn't work there anymore. So
he works at
shove him into the deep end. That's all right. No, you work there as long as you feel like you need to. But you know, we'll rally for you. I got some stuff brewing that you guys don't know about.
I like stuff.
Yeah, I got some stuff brewing that I can't talk about yet.
Good.
But if it works out, it'll be helpful for you.
People have been contacting me. They've been liking my music recommendations.
Oh, yeah. Who do you like this week? And I don't mean who do you like this week. Like, this guy likes a different one every week.
No. As far as new releases, BDI's, which is the new Oasis without Noel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought the old Oasis was the Oasis without Noel. It was without Liam. So it's just Liam?
Wait. I'm sorry. I think I'm... No, it's... No, just Liam. Yeah.
It's just Liam.
Liam with the rest of the guys.
So, well, that's interesting. Now, how did Liam rally the guys? I would think Noel would rally the guys.
Maybe I'm just flipping them in my head.
I think you might be flipping your head. Noel did their Unplugged, and Liam was in the balcony.
That's right.
This is like when you thought D.W. Griffith started Griffith Park.
That's right. And it was actually,
actually Melanie Griffith.
Melanie Griffith, yeah.
Who started Melanie Griffith Park.
Yeah, anyway, sorry. BDI's.
She started Melanie Griffith Park because it's got a bunch of Mexicans in it. Antonio Banderas! Take that! He's not even Mexican. This is racist for no reason. I apologize. Please don't hate me.
But BDI's, it's better than any Oasis album that's come out in the past 10 years. Just be sure to check out this band that's going to be playing South by Southwest this year. I've been a big fan of theirs for a while. They're called Turf War. They're really, really awesome rock and roll. So and they don't really have any albums out. You can go listen to their songs.
Did they name their band after the rap from Michael Jackson's Black and White? It's a turf war on a global scale.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's
not about races, just places, faces. Where your blood comes from is where your space is. I seen the bright kid duller. I'm not going to spend my life being a color.
But you can go check out their MySpace is myspace.com/turfwwar.
It's fun.
Everybody's face changes in the video.
Morphing. I imagine MySpace, when it gets a hit, it's like when Al Gore sells that book on The Simpsons.
But yeah, that's where you can hear their music. They're awesome. They're gonna be at South by Southwest.
I love your music recommendations. I wish you would blog more music stuff on Nerdist. I mean, yeah, I have Becca and Matthew are doing some Matthew Grossing are doing some great music stuff.
Yeah, right when you asked me is when I started kind of like I wasn't hearing a lot of new stuff that I like, and it was kind of hard to pick.
But now you are.
But now that I'm like a member of RDIO.com.
RDIO.
Yeah, RDIO.com. It's just a great way to listen to new music and listen to albums.
Did you just get a free membership for mentioning them?
I didn't. I'm hoping I can, though. I'm really hoping I can. I think it's a great fucking site.
Yeah, you've been blabbing about that site for a while now.
Yeah, I love it. It's gotten me back into searching out new bands and listening to old classics. I was listening to a little Screeching Weasel this morning. A little Cause for Alarm.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, I think I have an account there.
You do have an account. we're linked up as friends on
Okay.
Yeah. I can tell that you haven't listened to anything for about a year.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I'm sorry. But I will rectify that. Yeah, I've been stuck in Pandora land lately.
Nah, see, Pandora's too random. This has the same capacity as Pandora. But like, say you hear a song that you like, you're like, oh, I want to listen to the rest of the album, and you can do that. You can listen to the rest of the album, and you can. It does the same thing where you can just, it's like, here's bands that inspire this band, here's bands that are similar to this band, here's bands that were inspired by this band. It's a cool way to like search around music, just kind of like the fun of like, remember like MySpace music, where you could just kind of hop and like see who's on everyone's top eight, and just kind of go from band
top
to band.
Eight.
Yeah, I only ever went onto MySpace to hear about people's one-person shows and bands trying to sell merch and just the latest Ed Hardy tattoos. Like, that's why I went on there.
The best. Bling. I miss Blingy. Oh, I miss Blingy.
We should collectively buy MySpace. What do you think? $2,000?
I got $20, man.
We could do it. Let's just take their infrastructure and build a nerd network. All right. Well, I think that'll take us to the end of our hostful podcast this week. So, what are we going away with? You're going to South by. You're writing a web soup. You seem pretty well focused on getting stuff done. You, Matthew.
Yes.
More open mics if you can. I know you're working. We'll make it work. And just don't be snobby about open mics. The important thing is you have to get up on stage as much as possible.
It's not that I was snobby. I just wanted to see it. Horrible thing?
Nope.
No.
At this point, it is horrible.
Guys, you're both bad people.
Yeah. I know. Here's the thing. I know it.
Okay. I just want my leg to get better, so I don't. I'm just a horrible person right now.
No,
because you're in a lot of pain.
I'm like Humps when he was off the Vicodin.
Right? Is he back? He's not back in the Vicodin now.
I'm not like him now though, because he's dealing with the pain correctly. But
right.
You know, fifth season.
Right. Well, don't worry. Pretty soon, you'll be inside Cuddy in no time.
Yeah.
That's going to be our metaphor for you. She's
so hot. Lisa Elstein. I've seen her.
Yeah, she is.
A couple times.
So we want to get you to the place where you're fucking Cuddy. Like that is the pinpoint for you when you've left a job that is crushing your soul and you're writing and pursuing stand up and you're making money doing it. That's going to be when you're fucking Cuddy.
Those are all good things.
All right.
That may happen at some point.
All right, guys. Thanks. Thanks for, you know.
Of course.
No I mean, thanks for.
You gonna say?
Listening? No? Oh, you're thinking.
Let's go to the other side of the room and scream it from there.
Do you think the rest of the office is gonna freak
out? Well, we don't have to scream it, but, yeah.
Okay. Oh my god.
Oh, poor Matthew.
It's okay. Walking is fine.
Are we gonna do this?
Alright.
And it'll echo off the mirror.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Enjoy your burrito!
Sound neat.
Yeah, people are staring.
I don't know that it will sound that neat.
You don't think so?
I don't even know if that'll pick it up. Well, I mean, I guess it'll.
Yeah, it'll sound distant and weird. They know what we're saying.
We always sound distant and weird.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.